He opens a door that no man can shut, right? But he opens doors and he closes doors. No man can close a door he opened, but he can close a door that he opens up. Sometimes opportunity come, a due season will come, and you have to be sharp, and you have to be on your game in the spirit so that you don't miss a divine appointment. You know, if you're slowful, you're going to waste time looking for stuff. Slowfulness will cause you to be disorganized, unorganized, and you'll spend time trying to find stuff, wasting time looking for stuff that you should be able to put your hand on if you to put it in a place. Right? You can miss out on a lot of things just by being lazy and being slowful. Proverbs 6:6-12 says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard." Another translation says, "You lazy bones. Consider her ways and be wise, which have no guide, overseer, or ruler, provides her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? When will you arise out of your sleep? A little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands to sleep." Right? How many of y'all ever been there? A little slumber, a little more sleep. How many of y'all hit that snooze button? How many of you snooze till you ain't got no more time to snooze? That snooze button will cause you to be slowful. It's all right to use it sometimes, but it ought not be a way of life that you automatically. I mean, why are you going to set this clock at a certain, you lying to yourself. I'm getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning. You lying. You done figured in the snooze time. What you really saying is I'm going to wake up at 6. And I'm going to hit the snooze button. Listen, I'm right here with y'all. We all in this together. Look, I done woke up, hit that snooze button, and didn't even know I hit it. Didn't never wake up. Just automatic. Bam. Didn't never wake up. How many of y'all hit the snooze button, never woke up? Just. Then you look at the clock and say, "It's the clock. Something wrong with the clock." Now we blaming. We making excuses. See, we got to blame somebody for us oversleeping. And your boss, you walk in, your boss says, "What you done being late here today?" "My clock. The snooze didn't go off. The alarm didn't go off this morning." We blame something else. Just say, "Look, I just didn't get up on time." Take responsibility. We blame everything else. "Well, you know, my children are supposed to wake me up. You know, they get up every time I hear them running around. I didn't hear them this morning." Proverbs 10:26, "Lazy people are an irritation to the employer, as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him." In other words, you give a lazy person an assignment, you know, it ain't going to get done. I'm going to tell you, it's an irritation. Smoke in the eyes. How many of you have smoke in your eyes? Oh, it's an irritation now. Your eyes wasn't made for smoke. Proverbs 13:4. Says, "The soul of the sluggard desires and have nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." See, he's talking about diligence and being slowful. "The soul of the diligent shall be made fat," which means prosperous. Amen. So you have to be willing to work and willing to expend energy. All work is not easy. You know, everybody want an easy job. I'm believing God for a job. What kind of job you want? Something easy? That's number one on the list. First requirement. Got to be something easy. Something that's not going to inconvenience me. Something where I'm not going to get too dirty. You know, I want to go to work clean, come home clean. I want to go to work smelling good, come home smelling good. Right? Wrong prerequisite. That shouldn't be the top of the list, something easy. Sluggard wants, but he gets nothing. Proverbs 12:27 says, "The sluggard will go out and kill his food, to, you know, get his food to eat, but he's too lazy to cook it. Now, y'all laughing at the poor hunter because he don't want to cook his food. But how many of y'all got food in your pantry? And you walked in, you stabbed that pantry. I got to cook that. We ain't eating that tonight. That gonna take too long. I ain't slaving in this kitchen over y'all. Don't nobody appreciate me no way.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
KAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. Johnny Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Hallelujah. Stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for the privilege of hearing your word today. Speak to our hearts. Share with us that you would, we know. Then God revealed the principles for us to practice, that we might profit from them and give you the praise. Thank you in advance for what you choose to do in this place and people. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said, amen. From the book of Psalms, number 51, verse 13. Psalms number 51, verse 13. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. But just a little while, I want to talk about changed to help change others. Changed to help change others. If you get nothing else out of what I say today concerning this text, my brothers and sisters, I would that you understand, just as David's desire was, once he was changed, was to help change others. So should it be our desire that when the Lord helps us, when the Lord picks us up, when the Lord sets us free, delivers us, changes us, that we too would desire he do the same thing for others. One of the things that's interesting about what David is saying is that he himself counted himself worthy to be an instructor, a teacher, a professor of sorts of situational changes, for showing someone that just because you've been down doesn't mean you have to stay down. Just because you've messed up doesn't mean that you have to stay messed up. Just because you've failed doesn't mean you have to stay a failure. And so he shows to us the best way that you can help a person is to show them that you weren't always now what you were. That God has brought you from a mighty long way. And that what he has done for you, he can do the same thing for others also. It means relaxing your pride, where you are too ashamed to say that what you used to do, you want to sweep that under the rug. But rather you say, what I used to do, I don't do no more. Well, you're not ashamed to say, I was this, but I am now this. It comes to a point where you recognize that what you've been through can be used to prosper you if turned around for the glory of God and your good. And so when people have missed the mark, they've fallen short, they somehow become the snare of society, they hang their heads down low, and they forget that there are other people who are coming behind them who will have similar fates or situations, that if they too will pick themselves up, repent, get themselves together, that God can use them to show others how to come out of a bad situation. Listen, all of us in here as believers are ex-somethings. Now, if you're not an ex, you are something else. But if you are an ex, you ought not be ashamed of saying what's been exed out of your life. It's only why that you complain and that you're ashamed to say what's not been exed, because it means you're not through. And even if you're on your way to being an ex, you ought to be so close to being an ex until you say, what I used to do, I don't do it as much as I used to do it. Because people around you know it. They know the truth. If you're a liar, you just lie, 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 lie. But if you're coming out of being a liar, they notice you don't lie as much as you used to lie. Every time you open your mouth, they hear, go another lie. But then you start telling the truth, and they be, you're telling the truth, okay. And you start doing that you're coming out of less. Listen, how many of you know that you're still a work in progress? Those of you who didn't raise your hands don't even know where you are. That's a shame. But you're a work in progress. God is not through with you yet. Yet. So since he's not through with you yet, then you need to realize that there is a transitional period. And in this transitional period, you need to be getting you together so that when you get you together, you can help others get themselves together. So this verse talks about two things. It talks about transforming transgressors, and then it talks about saving sinners. Transforming transgressors. Now look at what he says. He says, listen, Lord, once I receive my certification of restoration, he says, I will commence my teaching ministry. Because verse 12 says, he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Now, after the restoration, he is able then to share with others how God can restore you. And so he says, notice, then. See, one of the problems with a whole lot of us is we want to start helping folk before we've gotten help ourselves. You ever notice some people with the worst children in the world try to give you counseling about your children? Talk to me if you can, somebody. Ever notice some people with their lives as raggedy and messed up try to give you advice about your life? Somebody whose life and whose situation may be far worse than yours try to tell you about something they've not yet achieved themselves. It does not have the impact that it ought to have because they have not yet gotten themselves together. And so if you're really going to be a blessing, make sure first you're blessed. If you're really going to do what you need to do, make sure that you have accomplished it first. Make sure that you say, if you need an example, here am I. If you need to follow somebody, follow me. If you want to know how it's been done, let me tell you. But make sure you've done it first. Listen to this. Then will I teach transgressors. But what are transgressors? Because I think the reality of that is many of us don't really know who transgressors are, what they do. Well, there are four words connected with this word transgressors. One, it means to repel. Two, it means to rebel. Three, it means to resist. And fourthly, it means to reject. And so if you repel the word of God, the will of God, the way of God, like an insect repellent, you don't want it to reach in, get in, soak in, saturate in you. You repel it, you're a transgressor. But then if you know it and you won't do it, then you rebel and you become rebellious. But then if you resist, fight it, try to keep it from being a reality, then that in itself makes you a transgressor. But then if you just flat out reject it, I don't care what he said, I'm not following that word, I don't receive that word, then you too are a transgressor. And so listen at this, you can be a saint and be a transgressor. You can be in the house of God and still be a transgressor. You can belong to God and still be a transgressor. That's why the king, David, is saying, once I get it together. And this whole 51st Psalm was about him getting it together, him being cleansed and him being put on the right track and him being renewed and refreshed and all of the things necessary to make him worthy as a teacher, since he has been helped to help others. He says, I want to get it straight first, then will I teach transgressors. And the problem with this is you've got folks sitting in the house of God
think that he's talking about somebody else. He ain't talking about the street folk now. He's talking about the church folk now. He's talking about somebody like himself, after God's own heart, somebody who loves the Lord and somebody who has a relationship with the Lord and somebody who's had fellowship with the Lord. He's talking about us. How many times have we transgressed the word of God, the will of God, the way of God, and call ourselves preachers? Don't get quiet, because I'm about to stop at your house. How many times have we transgressed the word of God and call ourselves deacons and deaconesses? How many times have we transgressed the word of God and then get up and put our choir robes on and sing his praise? How many times have we transgressed his word, his will, and his way, and come to his house and act as if God is not talking to you, when you know he knows you through and through? He knows what you did last night, last week, last summer, and every day you've existed on this earth. And yet you sit here all holy and pious, your nose stuck up in the air, your eyes half closed like you inebriated for looking at folk funny. When the truth of the matter is, God is looking at you like you're looking at others. So when you talk about transgressors, don't get too comfortable, because that very well may be you. He says, I want to transform transgressors, because I need them to know, no matter how high your transgressions may be in your position, it includes you. How small or low you may be on the totem pole, it includes you. Whomever has transgressed God's word, God's will, God's way, David says, I want to teach you something. That there's got to be a change, that there's got to be a turnaround, that there's got to be a repentance, that there's got to be a coming to Jesus, that there's got to be a reckoning day in order for you to get your life right. God allowed things to happen to you for all sorts of purposes, but ultimately it is for his glory and your good. God permits things to happen to you that you don't deserve to happen to you, but ultimately it again is for his glory and your good. Sometimes you look at things that happen to you and you don't understand how in the world this can turn out right, how this can make any sense, how things can get better beyond this point, what sense this makes in terms of my being drawn closer to the Lord. But the word of God says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. God's got a purpose for your pain. And all you got to do is trust him and know that he's guiding this thing. And when it's all said and done, you might appear to be the victim, but you're going to be the victor, the winner in the end. Change to help change others. All over this country, there are AA meetings, Alcohol Anonymous, and other kinds of meetings. I could hear David saying, what I'm going to do in helping to change transgressors is I'm going to set up AHS meetings all over God's country. Wherever I am, I'll set up some AHS meetings. You know what AHS means, don't you? It means all have sinned. Lord, y'all getting quiet on me.
I want to set up some all have sin meetings just in case you think it don't involve you, just in case you think it's beyond you, just because you think you didn't see or someone didn't see don't mean God didn't see you. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want to give you a reality check. I want to make sure you realize you too have got to get a tune-up every now and then. You got to get a checkup every now and then. Make sure everything is right underneath the skin with you and God. You have got to make sure that you recognize and acknowledge your sins and straighten them out so that God can use you to help straighten out other folk. What makes AA meetings so powerful is there are people of every echelon, every ethnicity, every educational level, every life experience in that room whose lives have been torn apart by some alcohol, some drug, some habit. And what he recognizes is that you can't change the addict until the addict recognizes he or she is an addict. You can't change the alcoholic unless the alcoholic recognizes that he or she has a problem with alcohol. Because until they recognize that they have a problem with it, they don't think they need to change it. I do it sociably. Well, you the most sociably drinking person. When ain't nobody even with you, you sociably drinking at unsociable hours, in unsociable places. Nah, you an alcoholic. You gotta have just a little, yeah, taste. When it gets so bad, you gotta have a little taste in your coffee, taste in your orange juice, taste in your Coke, taste, which y'all getting quiet on me here. Maybe you don't realize you've got a case rather than a taste of being an alcoholic, of being an addict, of having a problem. But nobody can reach an alcoholic like someone who was an alcoholic. See, that's one of the things that I think about God's plan. God has such a unique plan that even if church folk won't hear you, the folk that are hurting and really need you will. That's why God has changed us to help change others. And sometimes you can't change the folk in church, but I guarantee you can change the folk in the world. In the dark world, if you let your light shine, whether it's a little light, if it's a big light, if it's a medium light, when you show it up in darkness, it's going to create a change. My brother, my sister, it makes a difference. Because folk need a change. They want a change. They crave a change, but don't know how to change. And he says, listen, I'm going to transform transgressors. I'm going to teach them. And see, can I tell you, if you're going to teach, you got to teach what you've learned. The late, great C.V. Jackson used to say all the time, how can you teach what you don't know? And how can you lead where you don't go? You've got to first experience it yourself. Then he says, and sinners and conjunction, tying it together, shall be converted unto thee. And sinners. You see, when the sinners see the transgressor get it together, then they become prime candidates
for getting it together.